At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I will be doing NBA Finals. It's finally here, guys. So we'll have the preview for you. Of course, we'll talk about the matchups. We'll talk about the teams that are out and what's next for them. Also, TNT Inside the NBA says goodbye. Well, in that iteration, we'll talk about that also. Some coaching news and a few other items. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we have finally made it. Since October, when the season began, up until now, we have our NBA Finals, guys. So everything's laid out. So we'll chop it up about that and a whole lot more. So, without any further delay, let us get right into it. So, your finals will consist of the number one seed in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder, going up against the four seed in the East, the Indiana Pacers. So, not the glamorous finals matchup that you'll ever see, but it should be interesting nonetheless. And guys, for the season series, you know, it's an East-West, so they only played two times. Oklahoma City won both games. They went to Indiana and won there, 120 to 114. And then they would later go to, well, they'll later play at home and win that game by a score 132 to 111. Mind you, both of those games were without Chet Holmgren, so keep that in mind. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in both games, he drops 33 points and then 45 points. So needless to say, SGA will be a threat in this series. I don't think I'm speaking out of school here, but we'll talk about the matchups in a little while. So, with that said, how did the Thunder get here? Well, they went and played the sixth seed, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and beat them in five games, guys. Pretty much a gentleman's sweep, to be honest with you. 4-1. And in game one, Oklahoma City Thunder, they go and win that by the score of 114 to 88. Mind you, they were actually losing at halftime, 48 to 44. So it was like, wow, you thought Minnesota, they're up to their tricks again. But the Thunder would just go crazy in that second half. Oh, by the way, they score 70 points in the second half to Minnesota's 40 points. So that just tells you how dominant they were in that latter half of the game. So they take game one. Game two, they take that one 118 to 103, thus winning on their home floor. So they go 2-0, heading to Minnesota. And in game three, that's where Anthony Edwards, he would go crazy, guys. In that game, he had 30 points, nine rebounds, six assists, two steals. He was absolutely sensational from the field and from three. And Minnesota wins that 143-101. Thus giving a glimmer of hope for the Timberwolves going into that game four. But in that game four, guys, it was a close one. But in the end, Oklahoma City Thunder, they take that 128-126 in a tight one. Thus leaving Minnesota with a 3-1 scenario, entering game five at OKC. And at OKC, they just take care of business. 124-94. Oh, by the way, in the first quarter, they take that first quarter 26-9. So that just set the stage for the game in its totality. So with that said, OKC takes the series. And that series, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leading the way pretty much in all five games, averaging over 31 points, over 8 assists, more than 5 rebounds, over 5 rebounds, and nearly 2 steals per game for him. Didn't shoot it all that great from the field. You know him. He's Mr. Efficient from there, only 45.7%. From three, kind of acceptable, 7-22. And then from the free throw line, he was absolutely amazing. 86.3% from the free throw line, guys. So SGA leading the way for his ball club, followed by Jalen Williams, of course, their other all-star, over 22 points for him. Over 6.5 rebounds, nearly 4.5 assists, and 2 steals per game he averaged. Over 49% from the field, sensational from three, over 46%, and then from the free throw line, 83.3. And then Chet Holmgren, who, again, he's your third wheel over there, 18 points he averaged, 6 rebounds, and 1.5 blocks over that per game. Sensational from the field, 56.7%. From three, he's reasonable at 36.8. And from the free throw line, 71.4. You take that, but you'd like to see that number pump up. So that's your big three over there. And then for Minnesota, Anthony Edwards did all he could, guys. He averaged 23 points per game, nearly 7.5 rebounds, over 4.5 assists. From the field, over 47%. This, I think, is the telltale number. Only over 28% from three-point range. And now you know he's one that likes to hoist them up. So this percentage, not good at all, guys. Not good at all. And then from free throw line, under 70% at nearly 69%. That's not what you want from your superstar, guys. Julius Randle, he had his moments in this series. He had his ups and his downs, averaging above 17 points per game. That's not going to cut it. Nearly 6 rebounds, 3 assists, over 48% from the field. He was solid from three, nearly 48% from there. And then from the free throw line, 85.7. But you like to see that scoring average up, especially in a series like this. And then your next scorer was Jaden McDaniels, only averaging above 13 points per game for him. So, with that said, your stage is set for OKC to be in the finals. How did the Indiana Pacers get here? Well, they played a grueling six-game series against the number three seed, the New York Knicks, and they were able to take that 4-2. This is how it shook out, guys. Game one, a game that I thought the Knicks gave away. Haliburton hits that miracle three at the end of the game to take it to overtime, thus putting up the choke sign, thinking he's Reggie Miller, but I digress. And then in that overtime, they just take over and win that 138-135. So, and that's the problem. The Knicks did not want to get in a track meet with these guys. That doesn't favor them. And yet you have this huge score here. So there you have it. But they do lose by three in overtime. But this is one I think they're probably kicking themselves because they had this pretty much in the bag. Game two, also at Madison Square Garden like game one was. And again, Indiana steals that 114-109. And a critical juncture in the game, Tom Thibodeau benches Karl Anthony Towns. A lot of people saying that may have cost them the game as well. So you had two winnable games there at the Garden, and you failed to deliver. That is the difference in your series right there, guys, to be honest with you. So Indiana leaves New York with two games under their belt, heading to a game three, which is a must-win for the Knicks. And they came through 106-100. Now, this is the type of score you want the Knicks want to see, where they it's a nice low score like this. You don't want to have the Pacers in a track meet, like I said. So they get that win, setting up a game four where they were down 2-1 to Indiana, thus having to win that second game in Indiana. But that wasn't to be, guys. Indiana wins that 130-121. Again, high score doesn't favor well for the Knicks. So onward, back to the Garden, where the Knicks would save face and win that game 111-94. And that game, oh, by the way, by game three, Tom Thibodeau makes a switch. He puts Mitchell Robinson in the starting lineup and relegates Josh Hart to the bench. And a move of necessity and kind of desperation, too, to be honest. So, like I said, game five, they take at the Garden, 111-194. But still a monumental task they have to achieve in order to win the series in seven games. They go back to Indiana game six, and it just couldn't happen for them, guys. They were in it for the most part in the first half, but then the second half, things just got away, guys. Thus, Indiana gets the win, 125-108. And Pascal Siakam absolutely kills the Knicks in this series. So much so, he gets the player of the East as far as the playoffs go. He wins the award, the Larry Bird Trophy, I believe it was. Yeah, so Siakam gets that. And then for the West, it's the Magic Johnson Trophy, I believe. And then it goes to SGA, of course. So, your stage is set as far as that goes. In the series, guys, again, Siakam, absolutely fantastic, scoring nearly 25 points per game, 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists. Well over a steal per game, guys. He shot it over 52% from the field and above 50% from three, guys. Now, his problem was at the free throw line, and I was hoping that they would send him to the line more in this series, because that was his Achilles heel. He shot at 67.4% from the free throw line. So there you have that. Haliburton had a fine series as well. Some people saying, oh, he got robbed. It should have been him getting the Larry Bird trophy. I'm like, nah, Siakam was bringing it just about every night, guys. But Haliburton, 21 points, he averaged 10.5 assists, 6 rebounds. Shot at 45.5% from the field. From three, not so good, just nearly 33% from there. And then 81.8% from the free throw line. And then you have a guy like Aaron Nesmith, your third scorer. And it was balanced from there on out. Guys like Nesmith, like Miles Turner. Also, you had the likes of Aaron Nesmith. Oh, that's who I'm talking about. Andrew Nembhard as well. So it was like balanced scoring the rest of the way, guys. But it was like you had about 8 guys averaging nearly double digits. That's not going to get it done if you're the Knicks. But Nesmith, I will watch him carefully in these finals. He actually sustained what appeared to be an ankle injury. So I would watch him closely in these finals as far as his health goes. So we'll see. And for the Knicks, Jalen Brunson, he was the absolute man in this series, averaging nearly 31 points per game, 5.7 assists. I thought this assist total should have been higher, 2.5 rebounds. Shot it great from the field, guys, given, you know, all the doubles, teams, all the different guys on him. Above 50%, you'll take that. Nearly 35% from three. And then from free throw line, he was Mr. Automatic just about. 91.5% from there. Karl Anthony Towns, you know, a lot's being said of him in this series, especially his defense, guys. He did average nearly 25 points per game, over 12 rebounds. Shot at 50% from the field, which you like. 36.7% from three, you'll take that. 76.6% from the free throw line. Yeah, he's a guy who's usually above 80%, so this was alarming. And then OG Anunoby had a pretty good series, all things considered. 17.5 points. He averaged nearly 4 rebounds, well over 2 steals per game, and nearly 2 blocks as well. Absolutely invaluable to this Knick team. Didn't shoot at all that great from three like he normally does. Nearly 30%, almost 46% from the field, and then almost 71% from the free throw line. So there you have it. So that is your series in that regard, guys. Now, your matchups in these finals. Of course, it'll be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think it'll be a steady diet of Aaron Nesmith. Again, his health, I think what his health looks like will set the stage in this series. Also, he'll see probably Andrew Nembhard. He'll also probably see also Ben Shepherd coming off their bench. But I tell you what, guys, you saw what Brunson did, and you know I love me some Brunson, but SGA is a whole different animal, guys. I think SGA is bound for a great series here, and he can kind of stamp and etch his name into NBA lore. So that'll be a That's my top matchup there. I think one that is paramount to this series, Chet Holmgren versus Pascal Siakam. Now, Pascal Siakam was kind of given a pass in this last series there, especially when they switched the lineup going with Mitchell Robinson starting, which means Cat slides to the four, and Cat showed no resistance to Pascal Siakam. He was able to do whatever he wanted, guys. So having a Chet Holmgren, someone who's a little more length, a little more wingspan, a little more defensive-minded, if you will, I think if they're able to hold Siakam at bay, I think this goes a long way for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think that shortens this series, to be honest with you. And then one now to fly under the radar, Isaiah Hartenstein versus Miles Turner. I think this is one that can skate under. I think Hartenstein, he's had a very good year with the Oklahoma City Thunder for all he's given them. I think if he's able to contain Miles Turner, who didn't go off too much in this series against the Knicks, but I think his work on Turner will be paramount in this series. And then you'll probably see as far as Tyrese Haliburton, he'll probably see a steady diet of Lu Dort, who's a fine defender over there. He'll see some Alex Caruso. He'll see some Cason Wallace as well. And the chief thing too, guys, in those two games they played during the regular season, Haliburton was kept at bay in both of those games. So if they're able to continue that trend in this series, it's not going to be a long series, guys. And then OKC's bench versus the Indiana bench. Again, guys like Caruso, Wallace, also Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Joe, Kenrich Williams. These are not household names, guys, but these are guys that fit their system perfectly and gives them punch coming off the bench. And Mark Daigneault, he's a coach who knows how to utilize his bench, and that's an important thing, guys. And on the other side for Indiana, you got TJ McConnell, their backup to Haliburton. Ben Mathurin, who started to shine a bit in the Knicks series towards the latter end. Obi Toppin, who's always a threat as well. Thomas Bryant, who actually played well off the bench for them, especially in that Knicks series. And Ben Shepherd, I had mentioned earlier, as a defender on SGA. So, with that said, my prediction, OKC and five, guys. I don't think this is going to be a long series at all. I'm not going to say sweep. I think Indiana's good enough to at least take a game. I think, you know, there'll be a time where the Thunder kind of let their foot off the gas a bit, but I think all in all, they will win this series in five, guys. And then think about this, guys. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has a chance to be he'll be the 24th person, or the 24th time this has happened, guys, where the league MVP wins the chip. And it first started out, guys, in 1957 with Bob Cousy. He was the league MVP and then won in the finals. Then you got to go with Bill Russell, who's done it four times. Wilt Chamberlain, he's done it. Willis Reed of the New York Knicks. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when he was with the Milwaukee Bucks, he did it as well. Moses Malone with the Philadelphia 76ers, Larry Bird twice for the Boston, Magic Johnson did it once for the Lakers, Michael Jordan, he's done it four times for the Chicago Bulls, Hakeem Olajuwon did it for the Houston Rockets. Shaquille O'Neal when he was with the Lakers. Tim Duncan did it once for the San Antonio Spurs. LeBron James doing it twice, guys. Doing it twice with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then Steph Curry does it. And that's the last time it's happened, which was 10 years ago, guys. Steph Curry does it for the Golden State Warriors. So that's the kind of company that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander can be in if he finishes the mission and winning the championship. So we will see what happens. All right, guys. So that is it for your NBA Finals preview. What's next for the Minnesota Timberwolves? Next year, they'll have a salary, if everything holds, of $187.7 million, guys. You got a couple of players with player options. Julius Randle has a player option at $30.9 million, so you might as well say $31 million. He has a player option. So whether he opts in or not, we'll see. I think he does, to be honest with you, but if he doesn't, wow, that'd be saying something. And then Naz Reid, their fine forward who comes off their bench, $15 million he gets if he exercises his player option. And I think for the most part, he does. I don't see him opting out. And then also Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who happens to be the cousin of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's getting only $4.3 million, so he will be an unrestricted free agent. So he will, I think he will get a lot of suitors, guys, based on his playoff performance, which he had fine playoffs. He had very good playoffs coming off your bench. So I think he could be in line with for some big bucks. And then for Minnesota, the maturation of Anthony Edwards. Now, you know, there's a lot said, you know, your Stephen A. Smiths of the world wants to crown him face of the league. But with that has to come maturity, guys. He's got to be able to grow up a bit. You know, he had a plethora of technical fouls during the season. You know, he's cursed. Whether he's cursing in the post game, whether he's, you know, mouthing off to the refs, what have you. But he's going to have to bring that down if he's going to be the leader of this team. So I think that goes a long way. He'll be in the lab. He'll work on his game. I think he's somebody who will not rest on his laurels. I think he'll be working on his game in the offseason. So I'm sure he'll add something to his game. But what I'm talking about is the leadership. He has to be the leader for that ball club. So there you have that. And then also your point guard of the future. Is that Rob Dillingham? Do you go and bring somebody else in? I think Mike Connolly is on his last legs, to be honest with you. Yeah, he has another year left on his deal. I don't know if they buy him out. It's only at $10 million, I believe, so it's not like it's big money. So, I think the big question, they need production from their point guard position. And then Rudy Gobert, what in the world happened to him in this series? He went absolutely MIA in this one. Remember how he had the huge game? The clinching game where against the Lakers, where he looked like basically Hakeem Olajuwon, for crying out loud. But he was absolutely MIA in this series, so you need production from him. So a lot of things to be determined as far as Minnesota goes. So we'll see what happens there. In terms of what happens for the New York Knicks. Let's talk about the salary cap first. Next year, if everything holds, they're at 194.3 million. So a lot of money on the books, guys. You have free agents like Precious Achiuwa, who signed for that $6 million. I think he could be gone. Cameron Payne at $3 million. I think he, whether he stays or not, we'll see. And then DeLon Wright, who really saved them at one point in the season because you had no point guards. Jalen Brunson was out at the time. Cameron Payne and Deuce McBride. So he had to run the point at latter part of the season. So I think it'll be wise for them to bring him back. And then Landry Shamet at $1.6 million. Not sure if he comes back at that number. I'm sure there's teams out there who can sign him, give him a little bit more money than that. So we'll see. But the biggest news coming out of all of this, Tom Thibodeau, guys, out as the Knicks coach. After five seasons in New York, of those 5 seasons, 4 times he took his team to the playoffs, 2. There was a first round exit and then a 2 second round exits. And then this year they went to the conference finals. Guys, his record when all is said and done in the 5 seasons, 226 and 174. That gives him a 56.5% win percentage, guys. There is only 5 coaches that has a better percentage than him. And then 4 of those coaches have more wins than him. The coaches with more wins, Joe Lapchick, Red Holtzman, Pat Riley, and Jeff Van Gundy. Those are the ones with more wins. In terms of the percentage, those 4 guys, and then add to the mix Mike Woodson, who has a better percentage than what Tom Thibodeau did. That's the kind of work that he put in for this team. Guys, a lot is coming out in terms of that, guys. Word has it that in the exit interviews, guys were saying they were unfamiliar with their roles. You can't have that. Again, he made a few mistakes in this series. I'll grant you that. But he got you over the hump with the world champion Boston Celtics. So there's that. He got you through that first round series, which was a lot of experts were saying they wouldn't even win that series. He got you through that. Back-to-back 50-win seasons, which we haven't seen in decades, guys. So here's my thing. I understand he was stubborn in his way as far as his starters go. The starter minutes were absolutely off the hook. It wasn't until game 3 where he really started utilizing his bench. I think that's where you, in your exit interview, you talk to him and say, look, Tom, I know you're setting your ways and this and that, but you have to utilize your bench. Can we get a commitment from you to utilize your bench for next season? Because your guys were gassed in that conference finals. I think if you do that, I think he acquiesces. But, you know, the handwriting's on the wall. You got guys like Mikal Bridges complaining and whining about the minutes and so forth. And you saw Mikal Bridges. I thought he was spent, to be honest with you. I thought he was spent from all the minutes he was playing and what have you. So, yeah, they're going to have to fortify that bench some kind of way. They're going to have to figure it out. And then in terms of Thibodeau being out, you got to find a new coach. Initially, I said the top three were probably Johnny Bryant, who was in the Knicks system as an assistant coach. He goes over to Cleveland and helps that ball club over there. I thought the finalists in my eyes were Johnny Bryant, Jay Wright, who, you know, you get him out of retirement. The coach has got his Villanova guys. And then a Taylor Jenkins. But now I'm hearing rumors as far as Jason Kidd maybe taking a look at him. Mind you, he still coaches in Dallas. But the whole thing with that is, does he want to leave the Dallas situation? You still have Anthony Davis there. You got the number one overall draft pick in Cooper Flagg. So you're going to have him. Kyrie, he's going to miss some time, guys, but you should have him back by the calendar year of 2026. So does he want to leave that situation? And then if you do try a pry him from there, it's going to cost you some compensation. And what are you giving up to get him? Draft picks? I guess so. But his name is being bandied about. Ime Udoka, who I think he's there to stay in Houston. Houston has finally turned around their situation. I think they're just a Jalen Green trade away from, you know, really fixing their situation there. I think Jalen Green could be on the move. So I think MA is there to stay. Yeah, I saw one person tweet about Eric Spoelstra, you know, given the situation over there where Pat Riley may be riding off into the sunset, thus setting the stage for Spoelstra to free himself. But he just signed an extension not too long ago. So there you have that. Why would Miami help the Knicks? Why would they do that and letting Spoelstra walk and go to the Knicks? I don't see that. I mean, you know, you could say it this way. Oh, they'll be doing us a favor since we let Pat Riley go over there. Well, I'm like, I don't think it works that way, guys. People I'm eliminating completely. I think Mike Malone, and I've been keeping my ear to the pavement, guys. Guys like CP the Franchise over there at Knicks Fan TV, he has pretty much said Mike Malone is not even in the equation. Meta World Peace has thrown his hat in the ring, but don't see that happening. He doesn't have the pro coaching experience. Sure, he's been coaching in high school and all those things, but hey, you could say, look, Jason Kidd, he went from retirement right into coaching. J.J. Redick, he went from commentating into coaching. So what does all that mean? But I don't see Meta World Peace being the coach, no. Mark Jackson, again, I think that ship has sailed. I think he's just – it's not even just him. It's the fact that the league itself has kind of blackballed him, if you will, when it comes to coaching. So there's that. Jeff Van Gundy, I've heard his name bandied about. I doubt if Jeff Van Gundy – mind you, he went over to the Clippers and helped out Tyronn Lue in that squad over there. But do I see him doing a second dance with the Knicks? I don't see that. Also, Van Gundy, very close with Tom Thibodeau. So there's that. I think that has to come into the equation. Mike Brown is another name I'm starting to hear as far as coaches go. But a lot of speculation, guys, a lot of speculation. And then also, too, guys, there's rumblings about Karl Anthony Towns, especially how he was exposed on defense, if not in this Pacers series, pretty much throughout the playoffs. So there is that. Also, a lot of people are down on Josh Hart, so you have that situation. Also, too, and this is like leaks is coming out that the players weren't too enamored with, you know, the whole situation with Rick Brunson being a part of the coaching staff. So you have that. So a myriad of things could happen, guys, where you could see a Karl Anthony Towns move. You know, a lot of people saying Karl Anthony Towns and then someone else for Giannis Antetokounmpo, a friend of the show, D. He's not too hot on the idea of bringing in Giannis. I say bring him. But here's the problem. If you bring in a Giannis for a Karl Anthony Towns, it's kind of self-defeating, because if you look at the situation in Milwaukee, Giannis played with a stretch five by the name of Brook Lopez. So you trade him for a stretch five, if you will, in Karl Anthony Towns. It kind of defeats the purpose. So now if you were to maybe replace that with an OG Anunoby and maybe another high price item, you know, maybe it takes OG and Hart to do it and some draft capital that you can get away with, because the money will work out. But I think trading Giannis for Karl Anthony Towns straight up just doesn't make sense, because he needs somebody next to him who can kind of stretch the floor and be out there on the perimeter. So, yeah, so that's my feeling on it, because Giannis is not going out to the three-point line. He's dangerous, you know, going downhill. So there's that. And then there's this whole situation with the Brunson deal. Do I think they deal Jalen Brunson? Part of me says no, but with this whole situation with his father, you know, do you oust the father, thus enraging the son? I would keep an eye on that too, to be honest with you. So they could go a myriad of ways here. And right now, I can't say anything till I see who the coach is. Once I see who the coach is, then I can kind of get a lay of the land, if you will. And then also, too, you got extensions that you got to give to Mikal Bridges and to Mitchell Robinson, if you want to give either of those guys extensions. We'll see. But a lot happening with the Knicks right now. Things we can't answer at this moment, but I think will materialize by the time, I think by the time the draft comes, we'll get kind of a better picture of the Knicks situation. So I'll just leave it there. All right, guys. So that's it for that. Then, guys, also with the closing of the Eastern Conference Finals, you had your last broadcast with the guys on TNT's Inside the NBA. So they gave their farewells, Shaq, Kenny, Charles, and Ernie. And, you know, there was, you know, it was a somber moment for each of those guys. But they said they're not going to change. They're not going to change the way they do things. So it's just, I don't think we have any clear idea on how this is going to look, being a ESPN, them being on ESPN and on ABC, by the way. They're going to be on both. So there's that. Some people say, oh, why didn't NBC just buy them? Buy their rights and just take them. Good question. And then you got guys like Rob Parker saying that them going to ESPN is a mistake. First of all, their thinking was, we don't want to just leave the people who produce this show and people work behind the scenes, leave them in the lurch. It was more about those people than it was the four guys. Of course, it's going to be the four guys because, you know, they have the chemistry and all those things. But I think it was more about the production staff and everybody who does what they do, you know, behind the scenes, keeping them on board. It's still going to be done in Atlanta, you know, in those studios, but it'll just be a ESPN / ABC vehicle. So here's my hope as far as that show goes, that just like with Pat McAfee, who's on ESPN Network, his show is on there, but he's not under that umbrella per se. So it's his podcast, you know, and all those things. So, you know, he produced and, you know, he has his people there, but it's under the ESPN umbrella. If you do it that way with him, the same way you do inside the NBA, I think you got a chance of them being okay. But from what I understand, I'm not sure if they can even show highlights or all that stuff. So, and then remember, too, they did a pregame, they did a halftime show, and they did a postgame. So, will they still have all three of those elements? And then, too, I'm not sure what's happening with the Tuesday crew, like Adam Lefko and those people. So, a lot of questions to be answered. A lot of people are kind of predicting their downfall, if you will. I'm not prepared to do that until I see what the product looks like before I make that determination. So there you have that. Phoenix Suns hired them a coach. They hired Jordan Ott from, he was a Cleveland Cavalier assistant, and you know Cleveland Cavalier had the fine season. It was actually a two-horse race between him and Johnny Bryant. And from what I understand, Johnny Bryant pulled his name from being in consideration, being that the Knicks job opened up. So he's kind of, you know, picking and choosing here where he wants to go. So I think it's a very smart move by Johnny Bryant because he wants to keep his options open. And you don't know what this Phoenix situation is going to look like. You still got to deal with the Kevin Durant situation where more likely than not, he's going to get dealt. You still have Bradley Beal on the books. You can't really move him because of the no trade. Thankfully, Devin Booker was involved in the process as far as coaching goes. So it looks like he's going to be there to stay, being that he was involved in this. So that's kind of a good sign if you're a Phoenix Suns fan. But, yeah, so they get Jordan Ott. He's been in the NBA since 2012, first as a video coordinator for the Atlanta Hawks. Then he had some assistant coaching stints with the Brooklyn Nets. He was with them for a while, then later to the LA Lakers, and then last year with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So Jordan Ott, we'll see what he can bring to the Phoenix situation there. He should be given a longer rope than the past couple of guys they've had. Frank Vogel, Mike Budenholzer. So he should be given a little more rope as far as that goes. And then accusations about Zion Williamson. You know, he's been named in this rape and assault lawsuit that took place in Los Angeles in 2020. So we'll see what happens with that. But new GM for the New Orleans Pelicans, Joe Dumars, he replaces David Griffin. So Joe Dumars says, look, Zion, he's the focal point of this team. So So it looks like they're willing to, you know, build around Zion. So, but again, it's all about him, you know, keeping his weight, you know, not letting him balloon as far as weight goes and his health in general. So, all those things is of importance. So there you go with that. So with that said, that's it, guys. That's it for this episode, guys. I thank you for listening. As always, All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. There you can find my episodes, clips, and all those things. I didn't really talk a lot of WNBA. Maybe I'll dedicate an episode to that because there was some stuff I want to address as far as that goes. You got the great hot starts from the Minnesota Lynx and my New York Liberty there. So you have that. Caitlin Clark, she's going to be reevaluated on the quad injury that she has. So next week we should hear something. It looks like positive news in that regard. So that's a great thing to know. Also, guys, it's just a lot happening. You got your players of the month thus far, Nafisa Collier in the West, and then Alicia Gray, who's having a fine season coming out the gate for the Atlanta Dream. She's balling, guys. So there you have that. And there's just ancillary stuff that's happening. The two rookies in Washington are still doing their thing. Sonia Centron and Kiki Ariafin, they're getting it done. So a lot happening. All right, guys. So that's it for this broadcast. Again, All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. Also, too, guys, I'm on YouTube. All the podcast platforms, I'm there as well, guys. Also, give to the show, guys. Donate button is on my website. A button for a page, donate page, I'm sorry, is there where you can find my donate buttons, Spotify, PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee. I keep my Cash App in the scroll there, $GD, that sports dude. Again, that's $GD, that sports dude. Socials, Instagram, TikTok, some Blue Sky, some Facebook, and that's it. All right, guys, I thank you for listening. As always, we'll talk soon. Take care.